Today we have a very rich gospel. At the beginning of the gospel, Jesus is looking out over the crowds, and I couldn't help but think of being at Winstock the past couple days, looking out over the crowds of people. Jesus sees them as troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. It's good for us to see how Jesus sees this crowd of people struggling, sinners like me and like you. If it were me, I think I would probably feel discouraged upon seeing such a large group of needy people. And I might think to myself, how in the world am I going to minister to those people? But Jesus was not discouraged, nor was he judgmental. Jesus doesn't look at the crowd and say, gosh, what a repulsive group of sinners. But instead, he sees them with compassion. He sees them with pity. It reminds me of an episode in the gospel that's one of my favorites for good reason. The story of the call of my patron saint, St. Matthew, a tax collector. Tax collectors were big sinners in Jesus' time. Why? Not just because nobody likes a tax collector even today, but because the tax collectors were working with the Roman government, who were actively oppressing the Jewish people. And tax collectors were known to take more than was owed and then skim off the top to pad their own pockets. So tax collectors were people who not only were betraying their own people by working for the Romans, but stealing from their own people too. Tax collectors were really hated and reviled. Even to enter into the tax collector's booth would have rendered a Jew ritually unclean. That's unclean territory. What does Jesus do? He walks right into Matthew's tax collector's booth. He's not worried about what's clean, what's not clean. He is concerned about the person. And he looks at Matthew right in the eyes and says, come follow me. And a miracle happens in Matthew's heart. He gets up, he walks out of the customs post and follows Jesus, leaving his old life behind. So how did Jesus see the crowds of struggling people, sinners? How did Jesus see Matthew, a big sinner? Well, he saw them with eyes of compassion, pity. One of the saints said, when God sees sin, he sees suffering. When God sees sin, he sees suffering. Why? Well, what leads us to sin? It's our suffering. Instead of turning to God in our needs, we turn to things that aren't good for us. And so God knows that the reason that we sin is because we suffer and we don't go to him. And God also sees that suffering is the result of our sin. So if we live a life of sin, then we end up unhappy, feeling guilty. So this is so important for us, that we see how God really sees us in our sin, how he looks at the sinner. He sees them with eyes of mercy. This is actually something so important to Pope Francis, who loved the conversion story of St. Matthew. Actually, Francis had this experience in his life when he was a young man. He had gone to confession, and he felt so touched by God's mercy through the words of absolution spoken to him by the priest, that he decided that day he wanted to be a priest. He was on a date, actually. He and this girl were going out with some of their friends. They stopped by a church. He went to confession and felt the call to priesthood while receiving that sacrament. He actually chose this phrase as his motto for his papacy, his papal motto. In Latin, it's miserando atque elegendo. It's a little difficult to translate into English. Literally, miserando comes from the Latin word for mercy, misericordia. So literally, it would be like mercying and calling. Jesus seeing with eyes of mercy the sinner and calling that same sinner. That's what happened with Matthew. That's how Pope Francis experienced his own call to the priesthood. So this is something that we shouldn't miss as we're reflecting on this gospel. Jesus sees this large crowd of people, struggling people, needy people like me and like you. Jesus isn't discouraged or judgmental about such a large group of people who are in need of him. So what does he do? He summons 12 and he sends them out to the crowd. Now, to us Catholics, this is extremely significant. Jesus gathering the 12 around him, sending them, because we've always believed that those 12 disciples were the first bishops and priests. That at the Last Supper, Jesus conferred the sacrament on them, the sacrament of holy orders, and he sends them out. And what does he send them out to do? Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. All works of healing. It's good for us not to get too caught up, I think, in thinking about those commands literally. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. We've had saints with all of those gifts. And even today, saints who can cure the sick, saints who can drive out demons, priests who are exorcists do this actively, driving out demons. But we can also interpret this in a spiritual way as well. For who among us has not been spiritually sick? I have. Who among us has not experienced even spiritual death, or what feels like it? Dead parts of our hearts that feel so far from God that they seem dead. Maybe we've known people who seem spiritually dead. How many of us have not struggled with demons in our life, demons of addiction or demons of unforgiveness or demons of self-hatred? So all of these are the kinds of healing that's necessary. Jesus ordains 12, sends them out to do this work of healing. But let's just ask the question, how is it that they're healed? In the ordination rite for a man who's being ordained a priest, July 3rd will be my 13th anniversary of priesthood. And what the church believes about the ordination of a man to the priesthood is that he becomes, and this is theological language, that he becomes sacramentally configured to Christ. Or another way of saying it is ontologically configured to Christ. In other words, the priest interior is impressed with Jesus's interior. Or another way of putting it is Jesus impresses his own heart onto the heart of that man being ordained. So then all of the sacraments that priest celebrates become an exercise or an expression of Jesus' own heart towards his people. All of which really is a service, a ministry, a healing for his people. If we think of baptism, what does baptism do? Well, it washes us. What does confirmation do? It strengthens us with the gift of the Holy Spirit. What does the Eucharist do? It nourishes us spiritually. If we're sick, we can receive the anointing of the sick, which is a healing of the body. Sacrament of reconciliation, a healing of our sin-sick soul. and receiving the forgiveness there. All of the sacraments, which happen through the priest, are simply a communication of Jesus' own heart onto the people. So our healing comes about by this encounter with Christ's own heart that they experience through the priest in the sacrament, but also in a personal way. And this is really how I hope to live out my priesthood, is that when people would even encounter me outside of a sacramental context, if they encounter me at Winstock, if they encounter me after Mass here, if they make an appointment with me and want to talk to me about something, that they would have an experience of Christ's own heart, because his heart has been impressed upon my heart. And it's Jesus' heart that heals us. So what great love. I don't know how much we've thought about the sacraments this way as an expression of Christ's own heart, or even the priest's personal ministry as being an expression or encounter with Christ's own heart that heals his people. But I think we see, if we reflect on this, how much Jesus loves us, that Jesus would give us this gift, that he would send us his own heart in our midst by impressing his heart upon the hearts of these chosen men, who themselves are most unworthy to be called and chosen, sinners themselves. So as we talk about this, I cannot help but think of those in our Catholic Church who have had the opposite experience with priests, that instead of encountering Christ's heart in the priest, they really encountered the opposite, even evil. And I'm thinking especially those who experienced abuse or even sexual abuse at the hands of a priest. The one who was supposed to be a servant instead used his power and position to manipulate a vulnerable person. So as a priest, it's most heartbreaking for me to think about this, that someone who received the same gift that I cherish and the same gift that of which I feel so unworthy would use that gift to hurt people rather than to heal people. And obviously we have many in our churches who have been deeply wounded because of the hurt or abuse that they experienced by a priest. And no wonder the faith of those individuals, but the faith of so many, have been shaken by that scandal. And how some have decided to leave the faith altogether or to give up the practice of the faith because of that. It's understandable. It's such a terrible scandal. It's the opposite of what is supposed to happen. So what I'm hoping and praying for in our parish is a renewed discovery of the gift of the priesthood. And I don't say this because I'm a priest and I want you to, you know, respect who I am or think highly of me. That's not it at all. I've been deeply touched myself by the ministry of priest. I've experienced healing in my life through the sacraments, but also through the personal ministry of priest. My life has been changed because of priests who have loved me with the love of Jesus, and I've experienced healing through Jesus' love shown me through the priest. This is actually what attracted me to the priesthood to begin with. It's not because I like public speaking or I like administration or I like visiting sick people. I mean, those are all parts of my job. I try to do them well, but it's not because of the job that I was attracted to the priesthood. It's because I had experienced Jesus through priest, and I wanted others to experience Jesus through me. St. John Vianney said, "The priesthood is the love of the heart of Jesus. Jesus who wants to be so close to his suffering people. Jesus who wants to heal his people through the sacraments and through the personal ministry of his priest." So today, let's give God thanks for the gift of this tremendous gift that he gives us in the priesthood, the gift of his own heart given to his people. Let's also pray for those who have been hurt by priests. Pray that they will experience healing, that they'll experience God's love. Maybe that a priest ministry would heal them from the wounds that they had experienced at the hands of a priest. Let's ask God to renew and awaken this appreciation of this gift in the church, and especially that he would move the hearts of young men, attracting them to his own heart, that the hearts of young men would be moved with the desire to be Jesus' heart with and for his people, a heart that heals his suffering people.